This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. The Cincinnati Veterans Affairs Medical Center is under twin investigations launched by the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs and its Inspector General. The first of the investigations was prompted by an upcoming four-month Scripps Washington Bureau and WCPO Insider joint investigative story. Joining us with details and an update is Nine on Your Side, WCPO.com business reporter Dan Monk. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at WVXU.org. Or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Dan, good to see you this afternoon.
Thanks for inviting me.
Dan, what are the allegations that are being investigated? What's going on here?
Well, the VA hasn't said exactly what they're investigating, but we do know that after we approached them for comment on a story that we've been investigating since October, they followed that a few days later with one investigation by the Office of Medical Inspector, and then they announced a second investigation that they had requested from the Inspector General's office in the VA. So we do know there are two investigations underway, and exactly which of these allegations they're looking into, I don't think anybody knows for sure. But I'll tell you what the basic story is about, and these are among the things that we told the VA when we were seeking comment from them. Basically, it's a bunch of whistleblowers at the VA, 34 people, 18 of whom are doctors, and there are nurses from multiple departments, some of them former employees, but most of them current employees of the VA, who have been kind of raising the alarm about what they see as a pattern of cost-cutting that has impacted negatively patient care for veterans at the hospital on Vine Street. So the gist of the story is that leaders of the VA engaged in this practice of cost cutting. They eliminated the neurosurgery department. They got rid of all the doctors who do joint replacements, knees, hips, and shoulders. And they engaged in behavior that at least these whistleblowers and perhaps the VA investigators will deem unethical. And these behaviors include a salary increase for Dr. Barbara Tomek, the acting chief of staff of the hospital. It's not a salary increase. She is paid separately as a surgeon and as an administrator at the VA. And what the whistleblowers told us is that she doesn't actually take the lead in surgery. She doesn't perform surgery. She's in the room when surgery happens, but she does not participate beyond the level of an assistant. And so they question whether she deserves that extra $194,000 that she gets as a cardiothoracic surgeon, and her total pay is $331,000. The other issue is about prescription medications that Dr. Tomek wrote for the wife of Jack Hetrick, according to documents that we were able to obtain. And these prescription medications were written in 2012 and 2013. And the problem with that is that Dr. Tomek has licensing authority that's limited, restricted to VA facilities. So according to the DEA, who we talked to about this, Dr. Tomek cannot write prescriptions for people outside of the VA system, and that's an issue that is likely being investigated by the Inspector General, because we know that when they announced the investigation, they separated Jack Hetrick from the Cincinnati VA. Hetrick is a Cincinnati-based VA executive who has authority over Cincinnati and 10 other hospitals in Ohio, Indiana, and Michigan. And when the VA announced that they were investigating the local VA, they removed Hetrick from that authority position. And instead, the VA is reporting to a network director in Pittsburgh.
And beyond that, Dan, there were also concerns about the impact the cost cutting had on the care of the veterans, right?
Right. We had a couple of examples of that. According to whistleblowers, there is a problem with the sterilization practices of the hospital. one of the whistleblowers, a nurse anesthetist by the name of Mike Brooks, told us that surgical kits will come to the operating room with bones and blood still visible on the equipment. And there was another incident involving a patient who had trouble breathing. And because of a cost-cutting measure, the surgeon in charge was presented with this problem to solve. And the surgeon happened to be Dr. Barbara Temmick, and she was unable to intubate the patient. She had to call for backup. The patient had trouble breathing until help arrived. So those are two incidents that these whistleblowers say are related to cost-cutting at the hospital. And, you know, we heard a lot of issues raised during our 4 months. These folks approached us back in October, and we've been, you know, gradually learning more and more about the way the hospital operates. And these four issues that we've discussed here are in a story that we have summarized, you know, for readers, and we're continuing to work on additional stories.
And that you know of, has the local VAs started to rectify the things that you're talking about?
Well, the VA gave us responses to all of these issues, and I'm not aware of any changes they've made since we published late yesterday, but so I don't know.
Now, did the whistleblowers first reach out to VA Secretary Bob McDonald or to Congress before they brought this to your attention?
Yeah, they all say that they've talked to, you know, everybody up the food chain. They've talked to their bosses. They sent a letter in September to the new director of the VA Medical Center in Cincinnati. And then also in September, they sent a letter with a heading, Urgent Concerns About Quality of Care at Cincinnati VA Medical Center. And they sent that, an unsigned letter, to Bob McDonald. And they were really hoping for action because of McDonald's Cincinnati connections, being a former CEO of Procter & Gamble. But they heard nothing, and so they decided to approach the media.
Now, I thought the Cincinnati VA was investigated several years ago, back when the national scandal first broke. They did an investigation of them at that time,
right,
as part of that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they had been cleared at that point.
They were, right. They were investigated for manipulation of waiting lists. It was the same problem that happened in Phoenix. A whistleblower at the time raised the allegation that Cincinnati was doing the same thing as Phoenix, and that was investigated by the Office of Inspector General, and they were cleared of, you know, intentional deception.
So what has the VA's response been to what you've uncovered? What are they saying?
Well, the biggest thing they say is that they're a five-star hospital. You know, the VA has a quarterly quality rating that they do called the SAIL report. And pretty consistently over the last several years, this hospital has ranked, in the top echelon of the 146 hospitals nationwide. The most recent report, in the fourth quarter of 2015, they got a five-star rating. The quarter before that, it was four stars. But they've been pretty consistently at four or five stars over the last several years. And they say that they, you know, have had resource challenges, but that they've managed their way through it and they're, you know, on the upward trajectory. And Jack Hetrick told us that he thinks, you know, the hospital is in good shape at this point.
And tell me some more about the actions the local VA's taken. You said that Jack Hetrick has been moved out of the area.
That's the principal one that we know about at this point. The way this worked was, people complained inside the hospital. They didn't feel they were being addressed. Then they went up the chain of command. They say they talked to Hetrick, and Hetrick did nothing. And then they, you know, gradually got higher up in the chain. They also talked to members of Congress, including the chairman of the House Oversight Committee on Veterans Affairs. His name is Jeff Miller, a Republican from Florida. And when we shared the information we had gathered with him, he said these issues need to be taken seriously, and the prescription matter specifically needs to be investigated. And that was about a week before we talked to the VA, and then they subsequently announced investigations.
Dan, what's the likelihood that we'll see other investigations at this point? What might be the likelihood of this getting in front of the House Committee on Veterans Affairs?
Well, Miller told us that if the House or if the VA does not take it seriously, his committee will. So I guess it's possible that he will take a closer look at this. We've been getting lots of reaction from local veterans today and members of Congress. You know, our local delegates are starting to react to it as well. So I don't know if at this point what reaction there will be from any official channels, but I do know a lot of people are talking about it and sharing, you know, more details with us.
So. Well, tell us about some of the local reaction that you've gotten to this.
A lot of veterans have contacted us and told us that, you know, they have stories of what they consider to be substandard care and treatment at the local VA. You know, we also heard from veterans during this period of time. We talked to a lot of veterans as we were preparing these stories. We also heard from veterans who are completely satisfied with their VA care. We talked to VA employees who clearly have a passion for this job. They love working with veterans, and it appears, you know, just from talking to them and to the veterans themselves that the feeling is reciprocal. So I don't want to paint the impression that this hospital is, you know, some kind of renegade operation. It is doing fine work, and the employees there care about the job they're doing. I know because I've talked to them, you know, over the last several weeks, as have members of our team. You know, we put three reporters on this, several editors and photographers. So it's not just a, you know, a single reporter working on a story. Mark Greenblatt, who is with our Washington Bureau, is actually the lead reporter. And, you know, between us, we've talked to close to three dozen whistleblowers and well over a dozen veterans. And we continue to talk to people about how the hospital is operating.
Now, did you get any sense from the vets about whether the good or bad experiences were based on the type of the illness or the seriousness of the treatment involved, Dan?
I'm sorry, I don't.
So, in other words, if they were complaining about something, did you see anything in terms of whether this was based on what type of illness they were facing or how serious the illness was?
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, a lot of the cuts came in the surgery programs, particularly orthopedics and neurosurgery. So a lot of the veterans we've talked to have had issues, either back issues or, you know, hip replacements. And so the care that we're talking about are, you know, delays in care because they were transferred to the Veterans Choice Program, which is a congressionally mandated reform program that was in response to the Phoenix wait time scandal. So the idea behind it is that if you can't get in to see a VA doctor within 30 days, you have the right to go outside the VA to seek care. And what happened in Cincinnati is that because these surgery programs were being curtailed during the time Choice was implemented, a lot of the veterans who may have gotten surgery at the VA actually made their way into the Choice program and encountered bureaucratic hassles and delays.
So, again, tell me the specific investigations that are underway at this point.
The Office of Medical Inspector is one. That was the first one that was announced on February 9. And a couple of days later, the VA said they asked the Office of Inspector General to look into the facility. And again, they haven't said exactly what they're looking at. We shared the details of what we presented to them, you know, as a way of giving folks information about what may be looked at. We do know the Office of a Medical Inspector is looking into the intubation issue. They've interviewed several staffers, according to sources. So, you know, that's where we stand now.
Any idea how long the investigations might take?
I don't know. I understand that they were in town, the Office of Medical Inspector was, last week. I'm not sure if the Inspector General has actually sent folks here. And no, they haven't offered a timeline.
So how serious is all this, Dan?
How serious?
Yes.
Well,
I mean, it sounds extremely serious, but I mean,
bones on,
yeah.
On surgical equipment. It's... I don't know if we know that yet. It's some serious allegations have been raised, and you know, I think we're going to have to keep chasing the story and see what the impact of those allegations are.
Now, has Scripps looked at any other VA facilities in the country for similar problems?
Not as part of this investigation. We've focused our attention on Cincinnati primarily. Other Scripps stations have written, I mean, we've written about and done television coverage on the wait time scandal and other issues related to VA centers and other cities. But this particular story and the stories we're working on all came from this group of whistleblowers who first approached us back in October.
What do you know about the how Cincinnati compares to other VA centers as far as the number of patients it sees on an annual basis? Is this a busier VA facility or about average? Or
I know that it's the population of veterans that it cares for is 43,000. It's not one of the largest VA centers in the country. And I know that it ranks in the top 20% now in terms of overall quality indicators with this SAIL report, which is a measurement of 25 different metrics that they track on a quarterly basis over time. And you know, that's the basics.
So where is WCPO heading next with this story?
Well, we're working on more detail about what happened to the veterans who were engaged in this system, the Veterans Choice Program, and the local VA hospital at a time when whistleblowers say programs were being slashed and care was being jeopardized. So what's been the experience of local veterans, I think, will be a major focus of the next story.
Thank you, Dan.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Nine on your side, WCPO.com business reporter Dan Monk.